How y'all doing?
Good. Appreciate you coming.
Man, I love coming to Fort Wayne, man. I do. You know, Butler's not that far, but it's a world away. Like, Butler's its own world, man. We were at we were in Fort Wayne, what, yesterday? We came yesterday, too, and we went up to Walmart, and I'm sitting there in the produce section, and this old man's just, he's just staring me down. Like, he's just mean mugging me this whole time I'm in the produce, and I keep looking at him, and I'm just like, man. Praise the Lord. This guy's problem, man. And then finally, after like 3 or 4 minutes of him, every time I look up, he's just staring. He comes walking over and he says, so I need to ask. I normally wouldn't do this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. It's like, okay, what's going on? I said, you don't like it? No. I was like, wow. Well, praise God, I guess. I don't know how to answer that. You know, the old me definitely would have answered a different way. And that's kind of what I was going to talk about tonight. Like Marvin said, I mean, I've been here a few times. I've shared our testimony a few times. I see some new faces, so I know some of you haven't heard it. And there's some pieces through this, but I really felt like the Lord just laid something on me to share with you guys tonight, if that's okay. I mean, you guys, is that okay if I just teach a little bit? I like to swing from chandeliers and do cartwheels up and down the aisles and get going. We might get to that point, but I just really felt like the Lord was laying this word on me to share with you guys. So I just wanted to share it with you. And it has to do with the way that we think. It has to do with the way that we act today, right, versus yesterday. How do we stop acting the way that we've been acting, right? In Romans 7, Paul talks about his struggle. He talks about, you know, I know these things that are wrong, but I just continue to do them. And I don't know why I keep doing these things, even though I know that they're wrong. And, you know, we do what we do because we want what we want. And a lot of times we don't like to, that's a tough statement. Like, that makes you look square in the mirror with some of the actions that we have. You know, I say, you know, I love my wife and my kids more than anything, yet for 15 years, I ran out the door chasing dope every moment. I mean, I knew going into that conversation how it was going to end. I just tried to cushion it. I tried to make her feel better. Oh, I love you so much. Oh, and I'd act like I was really struggling. But I knew I was going to go out the door. I mean, I wanted what I wanted, so I did what I did. And that was tough. It was tough for me to come to that point where I was able to admit that to myself, where I was able to really look at myself in the mirror and see how selfish I really was through that lifestyle. Because that's what addiction is. Addiction is just selfishness. Whether it's addiction to porn, whether it's addiction to drugs or alcohol or money, whatever it might be, that's all addiction is. It's selfishness. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm just going to read a couple verses. Shoot, boy, you know I'm getting old. Praise the Lord. Starting in verse 5, he says, but remember that they will have to face God, who stands ready to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. So we get so stuck in what the person next to us thinks. We get so stuck in what our husband or our wife or our girlfriend or our boyfriend or our kids or our boss or our pastor, what Marvin and Pam. We're so worried about what everybody thinks, and we try to put on this shell. All along, the only one that matters already knows. I mean, he knows us better than we know us. He sees what we don't see. And we're sitting here, and the world teaches us to be so fake. The world teaches us to put on these masks and worry about what everybody else thinks all along. Like, I got to the point where I didn't know if I was a good person doing bad things, if I was just a bad person just trying to convince myself I was good. I had no idea. By the time I got done running this race that I was running down this rabbit hole. And the thing is, we got to start thinking differently. If we start thinking eternally, I mean, as we went around the room, I think there was only a few people that passed, and I'm not saying anything about your beliefs because you didn't speak. But those of you that did, I heard a lot of, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the beginning. If we believe in the beginning, then the whole word must be true, right? It's either all fake or it's all true. And so if we believe that, then we believe that there is eternal life. There is eternal life after we die. And everything that God tells us in the Bible must be true. So as we're walking out this life, the things that we're doing, if we're thinking about it from an eternal view, if we're thinking about it as I'm going to be judged, I'm going to come face to face with God, and I'm going to be judged, it makes you double think. rethink the way that we're reacting, the way that we're acting, the way that we're thinking, the things that we're doing in life, the things that we're putting first in life. There's a, I've got a guy that I went and met with at Noble County Jail, and he's sitting there and he's looking at me and he's in tears almost the moment he walks up. He doesn't know anything about me other than I'm a pastor. He sits down and he starts crying, and we kind of get into it a little bit, and he's like, I don't know what I did wrong, Courtney. I completed drug court 2 years ago. I graduated. I've been clean for 2 years. And I did everything that drug court told me to do. I did everything that they said I needed to do to stay sober. So picture this for a second. I'm going to pause. So I did everything that they told me to do. So his counsel was coming from people to stay clean, to stay sober. That was the end-all, be-all goal. And I remember when I thought that way too. So I'm not saying nothing wrong with that, but I'm saying picture this. There's a man, I'm taking my advice from a man about something, about being sober, about being clean. That's the extent of my interest in his life as he's talking. And he says, I don't know what I did wrong. I went to meetings all the time. I got a job that I enjoyed. I was putting in 10, 12-hour days. It was keeping me busy. I replaced my negative things with positive things. I was going to the gym, and it worked for like 2 years, man. And then COVID hit, and the gym closed, and the meetings stopped, and I got laid off. And now here I am, again, going up the road for 5 or 6 years. And I said, man, you just told me every tool, but you don't even have a toolbox. And if the desires in your heart don't change, you can give me all the tools you want. I'm just going to take them to go do whatever I want. I'm just going to carry them with me. I got them. You showed me the tools, and I'm carrying these tools. But if my desire is to go get high, I'm just going to carry my hammer to go get high. I'm going to carry my hammer. I'm going to put it on the bedstand when I go sleep with that person, whatever it might be. You know what I mean? The desire has to change. And the only one that can give you a new heart is God. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart. I'll replace your heart with that old, I'll replace that old stony, stubborn heart with a new heart of flesh. He's the only one that can do that. So when we're trying to sit here and go through recovery, man, recovery is this big. Recovery is this big. It's important, yes. And it's wrecked most of our lives to the point where that's a big piece of our life is trying to be clean. But man, it's this big. So you're clean. Now what? You're going to go work 12-hour days to keep you busy? You're miserable. Life sucks. There's no joy. There's no peace. Marriage is still a wreck. Relationships are a mess. Don't know what to do with your kids. Screaming at the kids all the time. It's because there hasn't been a change in your life. My man here was talking about being reborn. It's funny you said that because that's part of what I'm going through tonight. But there's this thing that we have, right? When we're born, there's three pieces to ourself, to who we are, right? There's spirit, soul, and body. The Bible says there's body, soul, spirit. That's what we're made of. That's who we are as people. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he says, now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. So that's what we're made of. Body, soul, spirit. Now what does it mean? Right? And our body is our physical well-being, right? This is the natural. This is what's in the world, walking around in the world. It's our flesh. It's our senses, our ears, what we hear, what we see, what we smell, what we taste, what we feel, what we touch. Right? That's what our body is. Our body is what's moving around in the natural realm. Our soul is the psychological piece, right? This is our mental health. This is our depression. This is our joy, the happiness. This is what we remember, right? It's the inner being of who we are, right? It's our personality. It's the medium between body and spirit. It's what's right in the middle. That's what God tells us. It's in the middle of body and spirit. So this is what takes what happens to us in the natural. Something happens, so I'm happy. That's happiness. The only way you're happy is if something happens that makes you happy. Right? That's what the whole world That's where that whole word comes from. The word soul in ancient Greek, which is the original text of the New Testament, the Greek word for soul is psuch, which is also the root word for psych. So your soul is the psychology, it's the mental health of what's going on. Because of what's happening in front of me, because of what I can see, what I can hear, what I can touch and have to deal with, I'm depressed. Or I've got anxiety. That's the soul. Animals have a body and a soul. We're the only beings that God created to have a spirit, to have the spirit piece, which I'm about to get to. But humans are the only beings that have that spirit. Animals have body and soul. Why do you think most people, what's the biggest argument why people don't want to become Christians? Ain't nobody telling me what to do. I ain't living by them rules. If I want to sleep with someone, I'm going to sleep with someone. And tell me I can't get hammered. I can get hammered. If I'm a grown man, tell me what I can and can't do. That's one of the biggest reasons why people don't want to hear about faith. Because there's rules that go with it. And yes, people represent those rules the wrong way. So a lot of people, they judge and they point and they're rude. I'm not saying anything about that. Yeah, they're all wrong. That's not a Christian. But the main reason that most of us did not want to look at this for so long is because we didn't want to look at ourselves. I didn't want to change my life. So then you've got your spirit, right? This is the innermost part. This is the part, this is where the Holy Spirit dwells, right? This is where God dwells inside of us. This is where the conscience is. This is where we hear them voices saying, don't do that. Don't kick that door in. Don't run off with them. Stay home. This is that voice. This is the Holy Spirit either dwelling in you or coming upon you, depending on where you are in your relationship. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon you, guided you, and left. New Testament, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit. He dwells within you. He's always with you, every circumstance. So the Spirit dwells in the soul. The soul, which is our personality, which shows us what's in the world, in the natural, in the body, in the flesh. So think of it like a snowman, right? You got your body, your soul, and your spirit. And this is exactly how we're born into this world, with body being trump, flesh being trump. We ran around doing whatever we wanted to do, however we wanted to do it. Ain't nobody going to tell me how to live my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what this says. I'm not interested in what this says. I'm interested in what I think, what I feel. My feelings guide me. If I feel like doing something, I'm going to do it. When a puppy runs up to you and it feels like humping your leg, it's going to hump your leg. They just do what they feel. There's no sense in what they're really doing. And that's exactly, I'm not going to speak for y'all. That's how I lived. That's exactly how I lived. If I needed to get high, I would kick someone's door in. If I needed to get high, I went and robbed somebody. I'm getting high. That's all that matters. And, you know, when the two of us would have our battles, if she got mad at me, she pulled a knife. You know, if she got mad, she'd throw a candle at me. She hit me with a pot. She'd come chasing after me. Just what we did. Because we were in our feelings. That was our life. All we cared about was making ourselves feel better. Whatever made her feel better, when I made her mad, she did. Whatever made me feel better, when she made me mad, I did. But where did that get us? For so many years, we sat there and we sought advice from man. We sought people. Dad, you've been married 3 times. Why would I possibly take advice from someone who's been married 3 times? Now, on the flip side, maybe he's learned. But there's still a question. Why wouldn't I go to the one that knows everything? Why wouldn't I go to the author and the finisher who's already seen the whole story, who already knows how it's going to end up? Why wouldn't I go to him? Why wouldn't I go to the manufacturer to say, how do I put this bicycle together? That's like me having the instructions to put this bike together right here, looking at her saying, baby, how do I put this bike together? She'd be like, I don't know. Read the instructions. And our instructions are all right here. So you got this snowman, right? Your body, your soul, and your spirit. And we're talking about, you know, the spirit dwelling in the soul taking us, connecting, you know, reacting to the natural. When you receive Jesus into your life, then you have this experience. The Holy Spirit comes inside you, starts dwelling in you, and you're reborn into the kingdom of God. And when you're reborn, there's a new Trump. There's a new Trump. You start realizing that he's bigger than your circumstances. You start realizing that the things happening in front of you aren't going to dictate your actions anymore. Just because I act like a jerk, she doesn't pull out a knife anymore. Just because she makes me mad, I don't hit her anymore. Just because I feel a certain kind of way, I don't run off and go get high anymore. I choose that. We do what we do because we want what we want. What I want is for this peace I feel over my life today that I never felt in 40 years. I want that chaos to stay out of my life that was there for 40 years. All the secrets that I carried, all the lies on top of lies on top of lies that I had to try to keep up with and always wonder, is this when I'm going to slip up? You know, how long am I going to keep my infidelity to her and vice versa? You know what I mean? But I think that she would say the same thing, that when we finally came clean with each other, and we only did it because the Bible said to. I sure didn't tell her because I wanted to. I mean, this was 15 years ago. I was clear. Why would I bring it up again? Because she asked me. And in the Bible it says that I need to be honest. If I want to move forward into the kingdom, I need to leave my past behind me. If I want to be that new person with the new promises that God promises over my life, then I need to leave the past in the past. I need to face it and I need to leave it. I need to let those chains be broken. If I have to call down and face some warrants, call down and face some warrants. Because I am not about to live into this new life and things start going good and then 8 years later I get sucked right back into it for something stupid that I never faced because I was scared to then. If you want to get to second base, you got to take your foot off of first. You got to move forward. You got to move forward. So you go through this experience, right, where you receive Jesus into your life. You say, Jesus, I surrender. I surrender my life to you, and I will spend time in your word, spending time with you, trying to learn what's your instruction. What are you telling me? I know so many Christians whose Bibles are dusty, never been opened, sitting. The other day, someone made a comment, and I was like, where's your Bible? I was just asking, like, hey, let me look at it. And they were like, I don't know. Where's my Bible? This is the most important thing in our life. And I remember, I don't even remember who it was. I just remember saying to myself, she had been a Christian now for 20-something years. Didn't know where the Bible was. We got to know our Bible, man. How can we know how to fight battles? How can we know what God is telling us if we don't talk to God? We're busy talking to people. We're busy talking to recovery court. We're busy talking to probation officers. We're busy talking to community corrections. We're busy getting our identity from them who are lying to you. You're an addict. I ain't no addict. I ain't no addict. I was making bad choices for 40 years of my life, and today I make good choices in my life, period. If I was a police officer when I was 20 years old, I'm not a police officer now. So why does that stay with me? Why do you get to still call me an addict and try to make my identity in choices that I made 20 years ago? You don't have that power over me. You're a criminal. I ain't no criminal. The old me was. But the Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that when you're born into the kingdom of God, the old man has died and the new man has come. One of my guys came up to me today. We took him back into the program. And how much time do I have? When am I done? 7:30. Okay. Oh, Lord. Okay. Y'all going to get some preaching here. Okay. So this guy comes up to me and he says, so the last time he was with us, as he left, he stole a ministry truck, drove to Indy, left it down on Washington Street. And I took him back. I brought him back in. He reapplied. It's been about, I don't know, 6 months. And I said, yeah, man, come on back. Everybody does dumb crap. I did stupid stuff. And everybody continues to like make these jokes as they, hey, you're the one that stole the truck. Are you the one that stole the truck and left? And he came to me today and he's like, man, I'm getting really tired. Like everybody always like always bringing it up. Like, it's done. He's like, how do I respond to this? Are you the one that stole the truck? No. The old me was. Where do they go now? You know what I mean? They're not making fun of him. They just think it's funny. They don't know what bothers him. But with a statement like, I mean, that's what it is. The old me did, yeah. Not the new me. And leave that behind, man. Don't let someone plaster you with your old decisions. Because the reality is, every one of us has stole something. Every one of us have lied, which makes everybody on this planet a liar and or a thief. So you can sit here and point the finger all you want, which we know they do. We know we go in for our probation meetings and they're demeaning us and they're talking down on us and they're basically speaking death over us. You're going to fail. You ain't going to make it. Whatever all that is. Man, you speak for yourself, homie. My God's bigger than you. And I am who he says I am, not who you say I am. And you just leave that behind. You just leave that behind. Don't let somebody else tell you who you are. John chapter 3, verse 3 says, truly I tell you that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The peace, the chaos leaving, the joy in your life, that's kingdom stuff. We have happiness because something happens that makes us happy. Joy is something that don't leave. Joy is something that nobody can take. Just because what happens around you does not steal my joy. I was working for a landscaping company when I was in Huntington, and we were in this lady's backyard. It was just this residential house, and I'm back there weed eating, and it's pouring rain, and it's cold. It's in the fall time, and the day was already a miserable day, and I'm just kind of going through, and I weed eat some dog crap. You know what happens when you weed eat dog crap? It splatters in your face. And I got dog crap all over my face and all over my shirt, and I'm just sitting there. The old me, I promise the old me, would have snapped the weed eater in half. I would have thrown it through the customer's window, and I would have quit right there on the spot. Man, the new me just, I started laughing. I was like, really, God? Like, this is how we're doing this today, huh? And, man, life is so much better when other people's actions do not alter your day and alter who you are. You know what I mean? It's so much more peaceful when you let God guide you instead of other people and your circumstances. There's always going to be circumstances. Just because you surrender your life and you're obedient to the word, that does not mean that you're not going to have circumstances. You're going to have all kinds of circumstances. You're going to have things happen to you. You're going to have DCS come into your life or not get out of your life, one of the two. You're going to have someone accuse you of something that you didn't do. We've got a girl in Huntington who every time someone makes a comment about Inspiration Ministry, she starts saying that me and Marilyn planted FBI cameras in her light bulbs and we're part of this deep dark operation. I don't even know how to describe what she says. Yeah, it's about it. But I really care about this girl. Like you know, when she went through the Dream Center with us, she was straight. I mean, she was just a loving girl. She was awesome. She's older than all of us. She's like our mama, you know. And then to see her now, just always throwing darts. I mean, just see my name and she starts throwing darts. It's like, what is, but the Bible tells us that the battles are not of flesh and blood. You know, that they're of principalities and they're spirits of the other world. And if that's not a circumstance where, just to be real, I know it's weird sometimes to start talking about spirits and principalities, but take someone that was completely normal and all of a sudden, they're so just whacked out that they truly believe that. That's a spirit, man. We can sit here and talk about, yeah, they're smoking meth or they're doing this or they're doing that all night long. But it's a spirit. It's a spirit that's causing those things. Again, it's just another example of where the word is true, of where God is showing us once again, my word is all true and it comes to pass. And if you will just do whatever you can do to know me, to know my word, to follow my instructions, I will be able to give you these things of the kingdom that I'm talking about. We can't pitch a tent outside the kingdom and wonder why we're not getting the blessings of the kingdom. It makes no sense. God, you promised. He's like, hey, you ain't even living in my walls. You're not doing, Jesus tells us in Luke, he's like, y'all call me teacher, you call me master, but you don't do nothing I even ask. Am I really that to you? Or does it just sound good? It just, I mean, a lot of us go to church. We show up on Sunday mornings. Woo, praise the Lord. But then Sunday afternoon, we're going right back to what we do. We go right back flicking someone off as we're pulling out church because they cut us off. And nothing's changed. We just show up at church. And that's not what he calls us to do. It's not. Do we all fall short? Of course we all fall short. Do I blow up? Yes, of course I blow. Does she blow up? Yes, of course she blows up. But it's the desire in our heart. God knows our heart. He wants our heart. That's what matters. I'm sorry, God. You know what? Maybe I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have acted like that. Was I a jerk? Yeah. Will you forgive me? She loves hearing those words. So this is the point. Reborn. This is the point where it flips. Where spirit is now number one. Where I don't care what happens in front of me. I'm not going to let that dictate how I react. I'm not going to let that person that just cut me off dictate how I react. I'm not going to let my probation officer dictate how I act or how I react. I'm not going to give them that free rent space in my head to do whatever I used to do. Because my God is bigger. My God is bigger than you. My God spoke into the darkness and he created something. He's bigger than you. And that's who I'm going to live for. That's who can tell me who I am. That's who can put my identity on me, is the one that created me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. So we're talking about the word, right? We're talking about just the power of God's word. We say, well, I don't know. How does God want me to react? He tells us right here. This is his word. This is what God spoke to us through man, so that we would have his word forever, to understand what he wants, how to react, how to get us through things. You know, if you go through the Bible and you read and you pull up all the promises, you know that more than 3/4 of the promises have an action that go with them. Do this, and you have this. Right? Happy are those who are meek. Blessed are those who are meek. Not weak, meek, humble. Be humble, he'll give you some joy. Almost every promise he gives us has something in there right beside it that tells you, if you do this, I'll give you this. It's not all about what we do, but faith without works is also dead. If we truly love him, if we truly have a relationship with him, we're truly going to do whatever we can do to please him. We're truly going to do whatever we can do to serve him. Now, the women always love this. If I truly love my wife, when she asks me to rub her back, I'm not going to say, well, when was the last time you rubbed mine? If I truly love her, I'm going to be happy to do it. I'm going to try to remember to do it before she even asked me to. I'm going to try to wake up and give her a cup of coffee by her bed, which I've completely failed on lately. But I'm going to do whatever I can do to serve her. It isn't about serving me. It's about serving her. It's about what have I been able to do for her. Play this game. Try to outlove each other. Try to outlove the other. And see where that gets you. I promise you, I'll get you to a better place. I don't care who it is. If it's your best friend, if it's your mama, wife, husband, kids, outlove them. Try to outlove them. So Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So the word is a two-edged sword that's separating spirit from flesh. It's separating what we want to do versus what he wants us to do. It tells us right there. That's what the word of God does. It is the line. We say, well, this is okay, this is not okay. So let me give you some examples. Sex charges. Everybody cringes. Ooh. You got a sex charge? Really? If my mother-in-law would have called the police on me 25 years ago, I'd have a sex charge. Because I was 18 and she was 16. Actually, 15. Well, but that's okay. You guys have now been married for 23 years. You guys have kids. That's okay. I mean, that's not that big of a... Okay. What about 18 and 14? Oh, well, now you're kind of put it. Okay, what about 19 and 16? Some of you are saying, eh. Others are saying, mm-mm. You go to the other side of the world, they'll say 40 and 6. Yeah. It's cool. Who decides what's right and what's wrong? The word. God. That is the only word that doesn't change. It's the only word that doesn't change. That has to be our line of what separates right from wrong. That's what separates. How do I treat someone? How should I be reacting? How should I be living my life? What should my actions be? The word is what dictates that. Your spirit is starting to tell you what to do because you've now been reborn, right? You've been reborn into the kingdom of God. So your spirit is taking priority. So now you're starting to think to yourself. I had one of my boys after, what am I? I'm 45, so he's 48. 35 years. 35 years, I promise. He's definitely one of those dudes that for last 35 years, he's gotten high every day. Smoked weed every day. He just quit the other day because his relationship with God has just been growing more and more on his own, you know, a couple years now. And he just finally came to a point where he felt like God was convicting him of what he was doing. I'm not saying that alcohol is a sin. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if God, or smoking, or, you know, I'm not going there. What I am saying is if God convicts you of it and you don't do it, now you're in sin. If God, that's all sin is. Sin is not doing what God wants you to do. It's turning your back and not doing what God wants you to do. So if God says don't do it and you do it anyways, now you're in sin. And he felt the conviction. After 48 years of his life, all of a sudden, he starts this feeling of maybe I shouldn't be doing this. So he stopped. And because his spirit is Trump, his answer was no longer, I'm a grown man. I'll do what I want to do. This ain't that big of a deal. I mean, shoot, God. I mean, it grows naturally. God must have given it to me. He also gave us the tree of knowledge of good and evil to Adam and Eve. You know, so, and that was his own thing. That had nothing to do with anything I ever said to him. He just shared that with me, and I was excited for him because that shows growth. That's what God's word is meant to do. It's meant to slice us. It's that sword, right? It's meant to slice us. It's meant to cut off the fat, cut off the trim. What so many Christians today do is they take their life and, or they take the word and they wrap it around their life instead of taking their life and wrapping it around the word. They look at, I had someone tell me regarding alcohol. They're like, man, I actually, you know, I studied up. And I mean, Jesus turned water to wine and, you know, they drank wine over here. And I was like, so you're saying that that's the justification for you drinking a fifth of whiskey? And he's like, well, I mean, I'm not necessarily seeing it's a sin. That's taking the word and wrapping it around your life. It's molding it so that it fits your choices, so that it fits your decisions, so that you don't have to change your life. You're finding reasons to justify it in God's word versus reading God's word, listening to what God is telling us to do, and simply changing your life. Does it suck sometimes? Mm-hmm. But it will get better because there is a backside to it. He doesn't do things just because they stink. You know, he's trying to show us that there is something better. And if we adhere to it, we start seeing that difference. We start seeing what's better in our life. Where did you just graduate from? What home?
I was at a work release.
You're out of work release? Okay. So you came out different from when you went in.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever it was, whether it was faith or whether it was not faith, but you changed your life based on things that were taught to you. And from what it sounds like, life is definitely a lot better than it was when you started. God will continue to take you places and to show you things and give you revelation that if you just adhere to it, the thing, I never thought, are you kidding me? 30 something years of heart addiction, needles in my arm, smoking crack, kicking in doors. Yeah, I think that I was really more addicted to the rush and the adrenaline of the lifestyle more than I was the dope. I mean, I needed the dope, but it was the rush. It was detectives knowing who I was and they couldn't catch me. It was us flying out of houses and parking lots at 90 miles an hour with people chasing us and bullets and gunfire. And that was a rush. Never thought my life could ever be exciting without that. What do you, I mean, what, I'm gonna have a white picket fence, have barbecues, read a book while I rock in a rocking chair. Man, let me tell you, that's almost exactly what I do now. And my life is so peaceful, I wouldn't go back for nothing at this point. We do what we do because we want what we want. I've had a taste of this non-chaotic, peaceful lifestyle with her. And the two of us together have, in our own relationship with the Lord, we just do the same thing together. Like, she doesn't do it for me. I don't do it for her. We do it for our own relationship with the Lord. We just do it together. And life is great. I think. Yeah. You're looking at me kind of crazy. You got something to tell me? What else is that? So he's dividing it, right? And now we get to the point, we know what's right and wrong. You flipped. Your spirit's telling you what to do. He's saying, don't do this anymore. You don't need this life anymore. You don't need that guy anymore. That guy that treats you like dirt, you don't need him. You don't need him. You ain't married? Move on. If you're married, talk to your pastor. I'm not saying you're stuck, but talk to your pastor. But if you're not married, man, so many people sit around and they just sit there in these ridiculous relationships. Well, we got kids. That's great. I remember those same conversations with my parents. So is it better for my kids to be raised watching us fight nonstop? Or is it better to just go ahead and divorce? My parents went ahead and divorced. And what that taught me, and I'm not saying this every situation, so don't read this the wrong way. I'm sharing this for me. When my parents got divorced when I was a kid, what that taught me was quit. That taught me that when things get hard, quit. You don't need to work at it. You don't need to fight. You don't need to pray through it. You don't need to face each other and face your faults and face the things that I need to change. Just quit. And that followed me my whole life. I don't need this. I don't like the way you're treating me. I'm out. I don't need that boss. I'm out. I can go slang. I don't need to listen. I don't need to put up with this. I'm gone. It taught me to quit. You know, so we have to seek the Lord because He knows what you're specifically supposed to do for your life. For your relationship. There's no blanket answer. Outside of Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. As long as that piece is true in your life, the rest of it can be argued in theology class. If Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life for you, we are on the same team. Speak in tongues, don't speak in tongues. Talk about divorce. Talk about women pastors. Talk about a man who's been divorced being a pastor. Talk about whatever. It's all just a bunch of ridiculousness to argue about. We are on the same team fighting the same enemy. We just need to come together as the church, encourage each other, support each other. Yes, we correct each other. The Bible tells us when we see a brother in sin, our job is to gently correct them. Gently, out of love. It doesn't mean smash them over the head with the Bible and tell them how they're living in sin and judge them and point your finger at them. It says gently. Just like we would our children. I don't come home and smash my kid over the head with a Bible. I sit him down, might correct him, have a conversation, and we move on. So now we know what's right and wrong. Our spirit is showing us. Now what do? We choose. Make a choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 says, "Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster." You want life or you want disaster? You want death or you want prosperity? It's up to you. God tells us everything we need to know. It's all right here. We just have to take the time. I want that. Bible all dusty, never been open. Do you want that? Do you really want that? If you did, you'd take the time to understand it. If the Anarchist Cookbook, well, I read that thing about 20 times growing up. I had that thing memorized from front to back. I knew how to grow it all. I took the time. Do you have the same interest in God and God's Word on how to live a peaceful, productive, fruit-filled life, you're going to take the time to learn about it. Or not. Or not. So today, right, so we started off with this story about this guy, right, and he listened to a man tell him what to do for recovery, and it was kind of this shallow conversation, and everything fell apart, wondered why. The Bible tells us, the Bible already told us ahead of time that was going to happen, right? If you build your castle, if you build it on a foundation built with sand, when the storms roll in, it will collapse. And if you rebuild it on sand, it will collapse again. But if you build it on a rock foundation, it'll withstand the storm. So when the storm of COVID rolled in, the difference between him and me, because I was him, there ain't nothing special about me. The difference was the old me, I would have crumbled. I would have been out. I probably would have been high on day two of COVID. I actually enjoyed COVID because my family, we were pretty much stuck in the house. We were quarantined. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the opportunity to just spend more time with my family during COVID. I'm almost going to say it strengthened me during COVID. I didn't miss anything. Why? Because my life has changed. Because my priorities have changed. And because my circumstances are not going to dictate what happens in my life. My body is not going to dictate my soul anymore. My spirit does. God's Word does. So the other day we've been going around giving our testimony, and a big piece of our testimony is the restoration of our family with our kids. So my daughter's 18, my son's 22, and my daughter couldn't stand me through this period of my life. You know, the last 5 years of my addiction, 35 to 40 years old, everything, I hit it for 25 years. I hit my addiction. I was making ridiculous amounts of money, so I never went into withdrawal. Nobody had any idea that I was going through what I was going through. I was going through about $500 a day in dope, and nobody had any clue. She didn't even know the extent of it. But eventually, that monster grew big enough where he started dragging me out of work, and he started taking me places instead of me taking him to work. And, you know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he's saying, no, I'm hungry now. We're leaving. Like, we're leaving now. I'm hungry. So I left, and eventually I lose my job. And I was a mid-level executive with a Fortune 200 company down in South Florida. We were living the life. And I got another job, and I managed to hold that for about 6 months. And then that fell apart. Eventually, we lost everything, and we were homeless on the streets of Orlando for the next 3-4 years. And through all this, this is when our kids, who were teenagers at the time, this is when they finally realized, like, wow, I had no idea. I got arrested the first time in my life I got arrested. And then from that point on, I think, I don't know, 8 or 9 more times. Didn't do too much. I did a few years total. And my daughter wouldn't talk to me. She wouldn't come see me. Nothing. Couldn't stand me. Openly said, I hate my dad. And all of a sudden, after we surrendered our lives, it just restored. So I've been spending 5 years talking about how, you know, not only is our marriage better than it's ever been, but our kids are back in our life and everything is restored. Well, about a week ago, my daughter, I sent her a message in the morning, and I was just like, hey, princess, hope you have a good day. You're beautiful. Love you. And she sends a message back, and she's like, hey, listen, I've never healed. The truth is, I've never healed. I have never forgiven you. Every time I get these messages, every time I see you, it just infuriates me that much more. I need time. That was like going 80 miles an hour and just slamming on your brakes. Like, what just happened? And the old me, 100%, would have gone out and got high. That's how I resolve those things. Is I go get high, I go drink, I go fight, I go take my aggression out somehow, and I go do something. The new me knows that my God is bigger. The new me knows that if my God can create me, and if he tells me that his plans for me are good plans, and that everything works out for the good of his people, and that as long as you raise your children in the Lord, that they will return on that day, the new me remembers that when I it took me 40 years from the time that seed was planted in my life. The seed of Christ was planted in my life by a youth pastor when I was in 7th grade, like during 6 months of me going to church in my whole life. The only reason that finally came to fruition is because God took off my blindfold at that moment. And when you see truth for what it is, when you have that real encounter with the Lord, nothing can change that. Nothing can take that away from you. People can argue with you. People can tell you this is and this isn't true. You're talking to the wrong person. Talking to the wrong person. I've seen it. I've been through it. I know it. I know my God is real. I know that Jesus is alive. I know that he was resurrected. I know that he sits at the right hand of God. And I know that he has control over this world. And that was enough. That was enough to walk through something like that. So as we're talking about how to go through things, how to be successful, being successful is letting God renew your mind. It's walking through this thing and letting him renew your mind and seeing life in a different perspective. You have a choice to look at this world as a glass half empty or a half glass full. You have a choice on what you're going to do with the circumstances that come in front of you. And I promise you that if you guys will just submit the situations to God, he'll take them from you. He'll take them from you, or he'll come into the situation. The three Jewish boys that were in the fire, he didn't pull them out. He jumped in. He jumped in with them. He will jump in with you, but you got to take that first step. So as I'm done, but as the night goes on, man, if any of you guys have not received Christ and not surrendered your life to Jesus, this is the moment that changed our life. So I'm not going to leave without at least offering it. We'll be up here. We're happy to pray with anybody. I'm not going to make you stand up in front of everyone. Just know that we're up here for you. And if anybody wants prayer, if any of you want to come up and just walk through what it looks like to surrender your life, we're happy to talk about it with you guys. So let's pray real quick. Well, Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here with this group. This is definitely a Jesus-loving group. I love coming down here to the faith-based meeting, God, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to do that. I'm grateful for your word. I'm grateful for the word that you spoke to me. You and I both know that I was sitting up at about midnight last night wondering what I was going to talk about tonight. So I'm just grateful, or today, that I'm grateful that it's on your timing. And when you're ready, you deliver. So I just pray, God, that everybody in here will have the patience and wait for your time. Wait for the time that you know is the right time to intercede in our situations, to intercede in our problems, to come into our lives and just change things around. When we don't think that you're doing something, you're always doing something. And we're grateful for that, Lord. I pray that you've just touched hearts tonight. I pray that your word has convicted somebody, has changed somebody's heart, and that we leave different than the way we came. Let your word change us, God. So I'm just thankful for you. We're thankful for your forgiveness, for loving us when nobody else wants to love us, for forgiving us when we do not deserve your forgiveness, for never leaving us when everybody else has abandoned us. I'm just grateful for you, Lord. I'm grateful for your love and for your promises, and I pray your blessings and protection over everybody in here tonight, Lord. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.